Up until now, I've been sharing with you the underlying theory of what depression is, why it persists and returns, and how mindfulness may help. Now I'd like to show how we can begin to get a flavour of what mindfulness actually is and how it works in practice. I'll start with a story. A well-known travel writer was invited to dine at the home of a well-to-do Japanese family. His host had invited a number of guests and letting it be known that part of the meal would consist of blowfish, considered a superb delicacy in Japan. To be served such a fish was a great honour. As guest of honour, the writer received the fish with great anticipation and savoured every mouthful. The taste was indeed like nothing he had ever eaten. "What," asked his host, "did he think of the experience?" The guest was ecstatic about the exquisite flavour of the fish he had sampled. He did not have to exaggerate, for it was indeed sublime, among the best food he'd ever tasted. Only then did his host reveal that the fish he had eaten was a common variety. Another guest, without realising it, had eaten the blowfish. The important thing, the writer learned, was not how good a rare and expensive delicacy tasted, but how amazing ordinary food could be if he paid close attention to each mouthful. The fundamental lesson of this audio program is that we can learn how to bring that same quality of attention to any experience and, as a result, transform the nature of our experience. This type of awareness, known as mindfulness, is much more than paying attention more thoroughly. It is paying attention differently, changing how we pay attention. If asked, most of us would say we already pay attention. We have to, just to get everything done we need to do. Or, if we have been chronically unhappy, we may also feel that we are already far too aware, at least of the pain we feel. But the kind of attention most of us customarily pay, particularly when depressed, tends to be aimed at a problem to be solved. Mindfulness can free us from the trap of rumination and endless doing that only imprisons us in further unhappiness and depression. It may be difficult to believe how limited our usual way of paying attention is. So to demonstrate it to yourself, you might like to try this simple exercise right now to get a feel for the vividness of an experience when the mind is intentionally and non-judgmentally present for its unfolding. If you can, give yourself permission to spend several minutes eating one raisin for a first taste of mindfulness. If you can't do that right now, you might try it a little later when you do have the time. First, take a raisin and hold it in the palm of your hand or between your finger and thumb. Focusing on it, imagine that you've just dropped in from Mars and have never seen an object like this before in your life. Take time to really see it. Gaze at the raisin with care and full attention, letting your eyes explore every part of it, examining the highlights, where the light shines, the darker hollows, the folds and ridges, any asymmetries or unique features. Now turning the raisin over between your fingers, exploring its texture, maybe with your eyes closed if that enhances your sense of touch. And now, holding the raisin beneath your nose, with each in-breath, drinking in any smell, aroma, or fragrance that may arise. Noticing as you do this anything interesting that may be happening in your mouth or stomach. Now, slowly bringing the raisin up to your lips, noticing how your hand and arm know exactly how and where to position it. Gently placing the object in the mouth, if you choose, without chewing, noticing how it gets into the mouth in the first place. Spending a few moments exploring the sensations of having it in your mouth, and then beginning to explore it with your tongue. And then when you're ready, preparing to chew the raisin, noticing how and where it needs to be for chewing. Then very consciously, take one or two bites into it and notice what happens in the aftermath, experiencing any waves of taste that emanate from it as you continue chewing. Without swallowing yet, noticing the bare sensations of taste and texture in the mouth, how these may be changing over time, moment by moment, as well as any changes in the object itself. When you feel ready to swallow the raisin, see if you can first detect the intention to swallow as it comes up, so that even this is experienced consciously before you actually swallow the raisin. Finally, see if you can feel what is left of the raisin moving down into your stomach, sensing how the body as a whole is feeling after completing this exercise in mindful eating. What happens when we engage in this simple exercise wholeheartedly? Just as with the blowfish story, it can give rise to a number of important insights. Slowing things down and deliberately paying attention to each aspect of our sensory experience can reveal things that we may never have noticed before. The smell of the raisin may be different from what we had imagined. The texture of the raisin on the tongue may be a novel experience. The taste itself is often richer than the taste of 20 raisins shoved mindlessly into the mouth while doing something else. Being mindful in this way can radically transform the nature of our experience of eating. If being mindful can so transform our experience of eating, what could it do for the experience of a sad mood? Unawareness pervades our lives. Eating is a prime example. Even though eating engages all our senses, we most often eat with almost no awareness. We may be eating and talking, eating and reading, or simply eating while thinking of other things. There's nothing wrong with this, but we miss much of our lives. We've all been on autopilot in everyday situations, and we all know that it often takes us where we hadn't planned to go. Let's say we have to deviate from our usual route home to deliver a package. What happens if we drive on autopilot, daydreaming, problem-solving, ruminating? Quite likely, we'll find we still have the package in the car when we get home. While our mind was elsewhere, the older habit of following the well-worn route home took control. Awareness keeps the old habits favoured by the automatic pilot from having the final say in determining our behaviour. It even enables us to spot them and recognise them for what they are. Ultimately, we may even be able to view our ruminative thought patterns with a detached, self-compassionate amusement. In doing mode, our mind is so often preoccupied with thoughts about what is going on that we may be only vaguely aware of what is actually happening in the present moment. Most of us are unaware how much of life we miss as a consequence. Little by little, moment by moment, life can slip by without us being fully here for it. Always preoccupied with getting somewhere else, we are hardly ever where we actually are and attentive to what is actually unfolding in this moment. So we imagine we'll be happy only when we get somewhere else, wherever and whenever that may be. Then, we say, then we'll have time to relax. So we postpone our happiness rather than opening to the quality of the experience we're having right now. As a consequence, we may miss the quality of the unfolding moments in our day. If we are not careful, we may actually miss most of our life in this way. We saw how eating one raisin mindfully offered a hint of what this intentional shift in attention might feel like. What might happen if we extended the approach we took to eating a raisin to the activities of our everyday lives? How could we do this? One way to practice being more mindful is to choose some routine activity that we do every day and resolve that each time we do it, we will bring a fresh quality of deliberate and gentle moment-to-moment awareness to the task or activity as best we can. Bringing awareness into these activities of daily living can make it much easier for us to recognize when we are operating in the doing mode, on automatic pilot, and it provides us with an opportunity to dwell in the mode of being, knowing what we are doing while we are actually doing it. Here are some examples of possible activities that we might choose. Washing the dishes, loading the dishwasher, taking out the garbage, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, doing the laundry, driving the car. When our minds are elsewhere, when we are out of touch with what is happening around us, old mental habits tend to take over. As we've seen, slipping back into old patterns of thinking is the primary pathway by which we become stuck in persistent unhappiness. As in eating, washing the dishes, or getting through our to-do list, we easily and mindlessly slip into daydreaming and problem-solving. But daydreaming is the first cousin of rumination. So if we've been depressed for long periods in the past, there is a strong chance, particularly when we're feeling unhappy, that our daydreams will slide into well-worn habits of negative thinking, and our mood may spiral downward without our catching it. The first step to preventing this from happening is to recognize when we are operating on autopilot. Then, intentionally, as well as we can manage it, we step out of autopilot into a more spacious, self-compassionate, and wiser awareness. For most of us, a typical day involves hurrying from task to task. Even a tiny bit of mindfulness brought to any moment can wake us up, thus subverting the momentum of doing for at least one moment. And that's all we need to be concerned about. We don't have to stop what we're doing. We simply bring greater awareness to our unfolding moments, just as they are.